Greetings, it's Dale and John here welcoming you back to GESPCU, the University of All Things Guaranteed Energy Savings Performance Contracting.
Now we've reached the point in the Investment Grade Energy Audit Report where the energy service company provides the details on how they arrived at all of the baseline energy use, cost, and utility rate information. We touched on this in an earlier podcast and mentioned that the baseline development was probably a very time-consuming process for the ESCO and likely for the owner as well. This is where the fruits of those labors are provided in detail. This should include, among other items, the description and itemization of each utility's billing rates, including any schedules and riders. Just as one example, I remember that in one particular county I worked with, they had facilities in multiple locations. There were three different utility companies for electricity and three different utility companies for natural gas. It doesn't take much imagination to understand just how much work goes into parsing the various data and arriving at credible baseline utility rates. In a case like this, the ESCO should develop independent baseline rates for each individual utility, which will be applied to their appropriate facilities. But it all needs to be described in detail so the owner knows how they arrived at those initial baseline rates, the utility rates that were used to calculate the baseline utility costs.
Yeah, I would just add one thing to that, John. It's really important to present or attach a sample copy of each of those different utility bills and a description of what can and what cannot be impacted by efficiency. All of the utility data used to arrive at the baseline rates and the supporting demonstration and explanation of the math applied should be presented as an exhibit to the investment grade audit. Once again, simply providing credibility and transparency to the entire process.
This can get into some pretty deep details here, as we mentioned before. In a previous podcast, we discussed the work involved in the utility bill analysis and how important it is to reconcile the end-use consumption for the energy-using equipment, such as lighting, cooling, heating, fans, and plug loads, with base year information, including the discussion of any unusual findings. So this is where the measure-by-measure baseline end-use consumption and cost is presented using those previously derived costs and use metrics.
John, you presented that reconciliation so well. You know, occasionally there may be a temptation to focus only on the measures that are going to be included in a proposed project and therefore shortcut this concept of reconciliation. But it's ever so important that the reconciliation illustrates the amount of savings that can be attributed to each of the different measure categories and demonstrate a reasonableness to the estimation of savings. While it takes a lot of work to create, a graphical representation like a pie or bar chart can bring significant clarity to the existing and planned energy and dollar impact of these projects.
Great point, Dale. I think how any detailed data is presented is important in whether or not it be included into the body of the report or be provided as an appendix or an exhibit to the report. I think either works, but it's a lot of data and a lot of detail, so it would be a good use of appendices or exhibits in the report.
Yeah, along with all this information collected and applied regarding the utility demand and consumption and all the variables that impact it, there also needs to be an included discussion of the facility operation maintenance procedures that will be affected by the installation. Discussions like, how will this solve the problem of not being able to acquire parts or get service for the existing devices? Equally important is the necessary presentation of the operation and maintenance requirements of the new or retrofit devices and systems. While new devices and systems are likely accompanied by a minimum of a first-year warranty coverage for both parts and labor should they fail, who will be operating the equipment and systems and who will be responsible for the appropriate level of maintenance must be considered, along with any staffing impacts or needs for specialty operation or operation training. These roles and responsibilities become increasingly important for the owner to understand while they're making these big decisions.
Now, in the IGA report, this is where the full description of each energy and water savings measure is provided. And of course, as you'd expect, the written description of the specific existing condition for the system or unit. Again, a little more detail on why they might even be considering a measure for this particular system or unit, and then a description of the equipment to be installed and how it's going to function. So if I'm replacing an HVAC unit as a rooftop unit, as an example, first I'm going to describe what are the issues with the existing one. Maybe it's 35 years old and you can't get parts, so the dampers are broken and you can't repair them anymore. And then follows the recommendation to replace that unit. And maybe it's a one-for-one exchange. This will all be described in this section. It's also important to present the plan for installing or implementing the recommendation to the extent possible without already having a construction contract with all of its detail, which we'll definitely be diving into in a future podcast. This report should include an overview of how this particular measure is going to be installed. Let's just use lighting as an example. Typically, lighting contractors work off hours such that they're not standing on people's desks and working in the ceilings overhead while people are working in the building. This needs to be disclosed at this point in time. Another example, say with a cooling unit, the implementation usually must be done during unoccupied times such that they don't turn off the important equipment during the middle of the summer. That's another issue that should be discussed and disclosed here as well as an example.
Yeah, great examples, John. And, you know, while all parties generally get pretty excited about what may be able to be completed during construction, replacing deficient devices, solving real problems of comfort and functionality, it's always good to identify the plan for implementation. You know, I recall a time when it was proposed to the owner that windows be installed in the dead of winter in a northern climate. Turns out the owner didn't quite agree with the plan. So all implementation plans have to consider how occupants are to be impacted from any installation and implementation plan.
That's a pretty funny story, Dale. Installing windows in the winter. I guess that might be a better idea in, say, Southern California, Arizona, rather than a northern climate. What all this illustrates, though, by now, is that the report should provide the owner a pretty good understanding how these measures are going to be implemented in general, with all the specifics yet to come in a final construction contract.
Sure. We all know things that may shift a little bit as details continue to get tightened up, but a preliminary Gantt or implementation chart should also reveal a first cut at the amount of time planned for the full project implementation. Well, that wraps us up for now. We look forward to joining you again next time as we draw a final consensus in an owner's meeting and being able to put the final touches on our investment grade audit report. GESPCU. See you next time.